One had mercy. He was dead before he hit the floor. Who is he? Special Agent Terrence McGraw, counterintelligence unit out of Chicago, on special assignment for me. You ever hear of the group? No. They're right-wing extremist cell. They're not your usual anti-government fringe types. They've got deep pockets and influence. McGraw was getting close to revealing their leadership when he was taken out. The only member we've been able to get a visual on is this guy. It was by the name of Rodesky. McGraw had him pegged as the group's spotter in charge of recruiting. They can afford the best, mostly freelancers. A combination of ex-CIA and DOD operatives and hitmen.
So what do they want?
Same as any terrorist group. Power. To what end? We don't know. What we do know is, before McGraw was killed, he uncovered a plot to assassinate Senator Joseph Kagan. That's the guy running for president. The one who will be president, if you believe the polls. Why Kagan? McGraw couldn't provide any more details.
So what's your next move?
Nothing. I'm calling off the investigation. Come again?
That's right. As of today, the FBI is no longer investigating the group.
Okay, I'll get it.
You got a major conspiracy beef here, not to mention a dead agent, and what, you want to back off?
Officially?
Yes.
Unofficially. There's a reason why McGraw's cover was blown. He was betrayed by someone in the bureau.
What, like a mole?
I could be wrong. I hope I am. But if I'm not, there's no one I can trust anymore. Except you. I trust you because I knew your father.
We've had a go for auto sequence start. The SRB hydraulic power units have started. T-minus 21 seconds, and the solid rocket booster engine gimbal now underway. T-minus 15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff. Liftoff, and it has cleared the tower.
Surgeon Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio Network calling.
The station with the happy difference.
And this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, in the heartland and in the bunker. Ready for another big shoe here today, right here on off stage. Yeah.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
PO Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581 is the address. Address your mail to either Box Holder or Tom Metzger or the Insurgent. We'll get it, no matter which one you use. Yeah.
How many times I got to tell you, this is no longer the Insurgent. That was the old days. This is White Aryan Resistance once more. Remember that now. Remember that. Greetings, boys and girls. It's Moon's Day, and it's a damp, cold day here in the Midwest. I don't know how it is where you're coming from. It was supposed to be sunshiny today, but they were wrong about that. Really wrong. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations for the radio show. And I think just about everybody's got theirs in by now. And so let's get to the show and see if we can dig up some crap here. There's always crap around. Now, as George Carlin says, there's always bullshit around. Like I said on my Twitter this morning, if the ruling class did not want wholesale race mixing in this country or any place else, it wouldn't be happening. Think of that. It's not an accident that this, everywhere you look, on every box of cereal, everywhere you look, It's race mixing. Pictures of blacks and whites and on television, on the news, everywhere. And believe me, if the ruling class did not want that for some unsavory reason, it wouldn't be happening. Remember that, boys and girls. Well, here's our thought for today. I'm not sure how much you'll agree or not, but here it goes. Western women have been tricked into pursuing power instead of love. Paradoxically, they never have been so powerless. Quote, any girl who grows to womanhood without knowing that love is her supreme value has been spiritually raped. Feminine spirituality expresses an attitude of spiritual waiting, intending, and readiness for the meeting with its opposite, which is its prerequisite for inner wholeness. Without this, she becomes a prey to the masculine within herself, a raging spirit of intellectual or physical activity to which no man can be related, and to which she can in no way relate herself. She is a woman possessed. Well, I don't know. That could be right, man. Personally, I think men and women simply fall in and out of lust. Lust is a biological situation. And, to use the cover word of love, which nobody understands, they think they understand, but I don't think many people do. It's really all about comradeship, loyalty, getting along, mutual interest, and so forth like that. Most people get married, and in a couple of years, that lust, that physical part of the lust, goes away. And then they either figure another way, another reason to be together, or they don't. Simple as that, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody wants to complicate this kind of stuff. Remember, we're higher animals. We're not going to change too much. We're just higher animals. And if you quit looking at things in that manner, you get all mired up in all this gobbledygook of the regressives. That's my opinion. Well, Jewess Sarah Silverman is all happy because Richard Spencer, figurehead of the white nationalist alt-right, got punched in the face at an anti-Trump inauguration protest on Saturday. That's interesting. While giving an interview to an Australian Broadcasting Corporation, Spencer was explaining the meaning of Peppy the Frog symbol, a formerly harmless cartoon co-opted by the alt-right during the campaign season, and the Anti-Defamation League has since entered into its hate symbol database. So you can't even show a picture of a frog without being anti-Semitic. A masked man then appeared and punched Spencer in the side of the face before running away. Spencer didn't press charges. Well, if they couldn't find the guy, he couldn't press charges. Well, that's a big, wonderful, brave thing that kid did. Run up, whack somebody in the face, and run off. For some tweeters, the moment was a perfect opportunity to mock and malign the movement leader. Footage of the punch went viral and inspired a variety of memes and remixed videos featuring music for the comic effect. Well, boys and girls, that shows you how weak the left is, the regressives, you know? Yeah, those old regressives on the left, they don't make them like they used to. That's a big victory. Hitting somebody in the side of the head and running off. That's a great battle plan, man. Yeah. I love it. I love it when they show how weak they are. They can get a lot of numbers in the streets. Of course, getting people in the streets doesn't change anything. When did people in the streets change anything? Unless they turned that into violent upheaval and revolution. Otherwise, it's worthless. People spend tons of money traveling across the country to march down the street. Nah, 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 we don't like Trump. We don't like Trump. We don't like Trump. Which actually helps Trump. He should be paying these people. Now it says here they were making some kind of a little song. It's the punch of the free world. It's the hand of the right standing up to those, to the devils of the Nazis. I shit you not. Well, I'm not telling you we've got the power, but I'm telling you those people don't have the power either. They just think they do. They're being manipulated by George Soros and people much higher up than him even. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani said he will bring a message from Donald Trump to Prime Minister Benjamin Nitwit when he visits Israel this week. Appearing Monday morning on Fox and Friends, Giuliani was asked whether he will be relaying a message to Nitwit from Trump during the business trip starting that evening. Quote, if I do, it'll be from him, quote, Giuliani said. But I can give the general message, which is, I like you very much and we're very good friends. They were friends even before. This is not a new relationship with Nitwit, but now obviously it's a much more important one. Giuliani is traveling to Israel for his law firm, Greenberg, Troring, and while there will meet with Nitwit, something he said he does every time he visits Israel since the two men have been friends for 25 years. Well, you got to have all those Jewish friends, man. If you don't have those Jewish friends, you're in big trouble. Yeah. Trump and Nitwit, that's Netanyahu, spoke by phone for about a half hour on Sunday, and Trump told reporters that the call was very nice. A readout of the call from the White House said that Trump emphasized the importance the United States places on our close and valuable military intelligence and security cooperation with Israel, which reflects the deep and abiding partnership between our country. Kiss ass, kiss ass. Oh, man. I'm telling you, American politicians, I wish they'd all move over there. They love it so much. The readout added that Trump and Nitwit agreed to continue to closely consult on a range of regional issues, including addressing the threats posed by Iran, unquote. Hey, I like Iran. I don't like their religion, but there's probably millions of Iranians that aren't religious at all. And that Trump affirmed his unprecedented commitment to Israel's security and stressed that countering ISIS and other radical Islamic terrorist groups will be a priority for his administration. Okay. Well, I see Julia Hand, a Jewish Breitbart reporter. You know, that's that right-wing outfit on the radio, is being tapped for White House post under Steve Bannon, also from Breitbart News. The right wing is getting co-opted by the Jews more day by day, man. I see the alt-right has put a bounty on the head of the attacker who punched Richard Spencer. It's $3,000 and rising. So, well, they should get a hold of the guy and learn how he was able to do it. Maybe some of these Hollywood Nazis and racists could sneak up and do it to their opposition. The guy's just simply showing you how to do it, dummies. Yeah. He got a real, I saw the video of it. He really whacked Spencer. Reminds me of the time at Camp Pendleton, California, when the communist black lady laid a whack on top of David Duke's head with a poster board, a poster and a stick. That was the funniest thing I ever seen. Not that she did it, but how Duke reacted. He crumpled up like a cheap accordion. Thought he was going to cry. If you dig back into the Oceanside Blade Tribune, which is no more, but they've got a morgue somewhere, you can get a picture of that and see what I'm talking about. It was on the front page the next day of the Oceanside Blade Tribune. Well, this is interesting. Among the hundreds of thousands of demonstrators who gained nothing by their march, gathered Saturday in Washington, D.C. as part of the Women's March on Washington against President Donald Trump, was reportedly one surprising protester, Joshua Kushner, the younger brother of Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared. That's interesting. Dateline Seattle, I will not recommend for membership in this union any other than members of the white race, unquote. That may sound like some old declaration of the Deep South, but until after World War II, that was part of the oath sworn by members of the International Association of Machinist Union, which represented Boeing workers in the Puget Sound region. The union, which organized the Boeing workforce in the region in 1935, was hardly the sole barrier of racial integration at Boeing. Let me see here. What's going on? What else have we got here? From the company's founding in 1916, management had not hired a single black person. Pre-war, such employment bans were pervasive throughout the U.S. industry, even in the greater Seattle region, now one of the country's most politically liberal and race-mixed mess. Boeing hired its first two black Rosie the Riveter types in 42 to build bombers for the war effort. See what I tell you? Joining in international wars of that type, like World War II, World War I, has promoted the black race more than anything else. Yeah, it did. That's another negative side of these crazy wars. More than 9 months after a presidential order banning discrimination at defense companies, and afterwards progressed only slowly towards equality. Well, there is no such thing as equality. You can pretend, but it's going to come to bite you in the ass. Interviews with current and former employees trace a difficult journey spanning 75 years with the reluctant hiring of those black roses through today. So if there hadn't been World War II, most likely racial separation would have kept right on going. When young African Americans can take advantage of Boeing's official policy encouraging diversity, which is not diversity at all, really, and equal opportunity, which there never will be really equal opportunity. Boeing declined to share the racial demographics of its current workforce. In recent years, a handful of Negro Americans have risen to prominent positions in the company. Sure, sometimes they even give them their own office to keep the federal civil rights people off their ass. Joanne Robinson Berry held various engineering supplier management roles at Boeing and now heads the company's growing Charleston, South Carolina complex. So there you go. War brings all kinds of bad things to the white race. It's not just the war, it's all the spinoff. The military is one of the most out front race mixing socialist type outfits in the world. Yeah. In the fall of 1940, Thurgood Marshall, Negro, then a lawyer for the National Association for the Devancement of Colored People, and later Supreme Court Justice, wrote to the Seattle branch of the organization noting that Boeing had just been granted a $7 million government bomber contract. Marshall encouraged the local branch to push for hiring blacks after black leaders threatened to bring thousands of protesters to the White House. In April 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt issued an executive order requiring companies with government contracts to cease racial discrimination. That helped the white race, didn't it? That is one of the things that demonstrations do accomplish. They can get a few thousand people marching, and then they use that as an excuse for the politician to do what he wanted to do in the first place. Oh my God, there's 5,000, 100,000 people marching. The whole country's falling apart. I've got to do something. Let the niggers have all the jobs. By now, you've seen neo-Nazi Richard Spencer get his block knocked off by a hoodie-wearing vigilante. It was the punch heard around the world, and it's been remixed and remixed and remixed again. There are those who feel that violence, even against white nationalists, who believes in one pure race and that other races should be eliminated from the country, shouldn't be praised. And then there are those people like myself who'd like a day designated for punching neo-Nazis in the face. Well, since we're all considered neo-Nazis, no matter what we are, as racial separatists, we're all considered neo-Nazis. Well, I walk around the streets of my town all the time. If someone wants to try to take a punch at me, let them try. But what I advocate is when something like this happens, your security, you don't have security? You chase the guy down or follow the guy that hit you or some of your security people. Just casually follow him home. Find out where he lives. And let him know that you know where he lives. But that's too much to ask of the right wing. They get the bloodlust up of these people by not taking it to them. They're always getting slammed by the left. Usually some girl hits them over the head with their purse. You got to have security, boys. Hardcore security. Otherwise, don't play the game. Here's another deal. Last summer, this guy said I had my own run-in with a Spencer-type couple. While I was at a local gas station, a white couple on a busted moped approached me and asked for some change so they could gas up their moped. At the time, I didn't have any cash on me, and I wasn't going to slide my credit card or debit card in the pump to help them out. I kindly told them I didn't have anything to give and walked away to get back into my car. Quote, "Nigger bitch," the male moped driver said out loud. At that moment, I stopped dead in my tracks, turned around, and walked over to their moped and kicked that shit to the ground. Walked toward my car, got in, and drove off into the sunset. Did I feel like punching them man in the face? Sure, but my first instinct was to kick his raggedy-ass moped to the ground, and that's what I did. Well, when white people got a big mouth and they can't back it up, they deserve what they get, and large numbers of the white race today, that's all they've got is a big mouth. Well, let's see, here's a few stories about hate crime. Gay couple targeted with hate crime at South Kansas City home. Yeah. Truly a hate crime. Vandals hit Withrow High School with racist graffiti. Vandalism at Davis Mosque investigated as hate crime. Hate crime in Bournemouth nearly doubled last year, police figures reveal. Man charged with hate crime in New Paltz, New York. Torture of disabled teenager, hate crime? Of course it was. Aziz Ansari offers Donald Trump simple advice on combating hate crimes. Nigerian Catholic priest attacked in racial hate attack. Police are investigating a number of anti-Semitic hate crimes which took place across Barnett this week. Police investigate spate of hate incidents targeting Jews in North London. That's Belfast. Dayton organized hate crime. There are evil people in Dayton, Ohio. They are killing innocent people in the area, including myself. We do not deserve this. The hate crime of the 1990s. Clothing, Vanity Fair, Jay Duplass, Jenny State speak of Vanity Fair's Christy Smith about Sundance premiere. I don't know what that's all about. Here's an interesting email I received. My name is John. I am an Italian living in Japan. It's striking me horrendously to see how Japan is increasingly taking non-white foreign citizens. Japan has always been known for its homogeneity and worship of whites. Now it looks like blacks and Arabs are flooding the country. And what's more, these people get a permanent visa within months, while I, after 10 years, still have to renew my visa on a yearly basis. Tell me who's racist, me or the Japanese? Sincerely, John. Neo-Nazi Richard Spencer wants you to know that actually he's not a Nazi, but a supporter of identity politics for white Americans and for Europeans around the world, and that the ethnic cleansing he and his allies are calling for would be the peaceful kind. Please explain to me how you're going to install identity politics racially in this country or any place else peacefully. Ultimately, it cannot possibly be peaceful. And instead of being called a neo-Nazi endlessly and a white supremacist, why don't you just tell the press I'm a racial separatist? Very simple. Yes, I am a racist. I'm a racial separatist. You don't need this white nationalism and all this identity politics and all that kind of stuff. You're just showing your fear of saying the truth. Just say the truth. I always say I'm a white racial separatist. Simple. Case closed. Speaking to the New York Times from on Saturday, the alt-right progenitor said he's deeply worried that the video of him getting punched on Friday during the Donald Trump inauguration is going to become the meme to end all memes. Why do you feed the blood lust? Just laugh it off. Sure, I got cold cock, but I've been cold cock before and I'll probably be cold cock again. So what? And I can do a lot. I'm going to do a lot of cold cocking too. Why give your enemy traction actually promoting the promotion of him getting whacked? The Times said the video of the attack quickly inspired a flood of jokes and memes online. Well, laugh it off. So what? Some of which set the punch to songs like Born in the USA. John Favreau, a former speechwriter for Barack Obama, was one of the many who posted a comment. I don't care how many different songs you set to Richard Spencer being punched to. I'll laugh at every one, Favreau said on Twitter. Spencer feels that he is misunderstood. No, he's not misunderstood. He's a racist. I guess, identity politics. In my school of thinking, that's racist. Spencer feels that he is misunderstood. He told the Times that he's not a Nazi, per se. Well, what does that mean, per se? He's not a National Socialist either. He's never proclaimed to be a National Socialist. Why don't he fire back with that? I could. I'm friends of National Socialists. He's just a white nationalist member of the alt-right who supports peaceful ethnic cleansing. Ha, 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 ha. Peaceful ethnic cleansing. That ain't going to happen, Mr. Spencer. That's never going to happen. It's gone too far. The other races don't want to make a deal. You know, I played that game for years. I met with them all over the country. Let's make a deal. They don't. Other than a few, they don't want to make a deal. They don't have to make a deal. They're winning. They're even producing a new race altogether, the mulatto race. Pretty soon your sons and daughters are going to be marrying these mulattoes because they're sort of pretty. They're not ugly like these other Negroes. Or Spencer could take it the other way. He says here he prefers to steer clear of the word Nazi because it's a historical term. No, it's a Jewish term. It means shit. It doesn't mean anything. That is not going to resonate today. Well, the left wing sure use it. It works for them. Thanks to unpleasant associations with Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s. Well, a good share of your right-wing followers don't find any problem with Adolf Hitler. German National Socialism is an historic movement of the past, unquote, Spencer told the Times. Well, yeah, it is in the past. That's over. It's gone. It's not going to come back either. Actually, true National Socialism, under a different name maybe, could work quite well. In fact, I hear Bernie Sanders saying a lot of things that remind me of early National Socialism. Takes a Jew. Quote, it arose at a particular time and had particular motives and ideas and policies and styles, and those aren't mine. You shouldn't even answer those kind of questions, Spencer. Shit. However, Spencer has demonstrated his ideological bent through his white nationalism and his targeting of professors. He notoriously held a gathering of neo-Nazis and white nationalists shortly after the election, not far from the White House. Spencer finally remarks, he led the crowd in a chant of Hail Trump, in which audience members raised their hands in Nazi salute. You can't have it both ways, Spencer. You either got to say, yeah, I am, fuck you, or go the other way. I mean, you can't have it both ways. The debate has sprung up online about the ethics of attacking a person who espouses racist policies when they are not actively engaged in violence. Well, I say the discussion should be, why aren't the neo-Nazis tracking these guys down and slapping them upside the head, bitch slapping them, you know? We wouldn't want to be violent, not even in self-defense. And we want to have ethnic cleansing, but we want it peaceful. Shit. Oh boy, here we go. The Black Bloc is not a group, but an anarchist tactic, marching as confrontational united force, uniformed in black and anonymized for security. Once deployed, the tactic has an alchemic quality, turning into temporary objective, the Black Bloc. On Friday, the bloc I joined in D.C. numbered well over 500, the largest of its kind since anti-war protests over a decade ago. Wow. Wow. It's a volunteer-led project. We need financial support in order to march in our black uniforms and pretend to be anarchists. Oh, boy. Most anarchists running around, allegedly anarchists today, are no more anarchists than my dog. True anarchists, I don't think these people ever read Kropotkin or what was the other big shot? Anarchist. They were 100% against the Marxist and the Stalinist and so forth. Yes, they were. Most of these anarchists today running around the country are neo-Marxist. Yeah, that's about the best they can do. Don't worry about them. The press is going to give them all kinds of ink, but it's silly. It's silly. The whole right-left thing is silly. What would the press do and all their little liberal, regressive followers without the use of neo-Nazi? A totally press-invented term. But they need it, and they use it, and the right wing falls right into the trap. Well, isn't this sweet? Memphis, after an AIDS teenager used a crowdfunding site to accuse her parents of racism over her black boyfriend, supporters contributed nearly $35,000 to pay for her college tuition. Well, I've got an idea, boys and girls. Fake your story up like that. Fake it all up like you're going to turn in your parents for being racist or anything like that. And then ask for money. She got $35,000. She's probably the head of the Klan. Allie Dowdle, 18, who is white and a senior at the Hutchison School, posted her GoFundMe plea online on January 11th. Well, go to that GoFundMe plea and dream up a crazy story, and you'll be able to fill your pockets with money. And barely a week later, contributors have raised $34,675 buckaroos, far surpassing the original goal Dowdle set for $10,000. Dumb, but smart. But the crowdfunding site and the teen's tale of woe haven't been without controversy. This began, Dowdle wrote, about a year ago when she informed her parents, Bill and Demetra Dowdy, that she was dating Michael Swift. Swift, who is a Negro, is a former soccer standout at the Memphis University School, who now plays midfield and forward as a freshman at Clemson University. All you have to do is be good at some sport as a Negro, and you get you a white woman. His father, Michael Swift, who spent 4 years in the NFL with Carolina Panthers, Jacksonville Jaguars, and San Diego Chargers. Well, that makes him a genius. He is a genius Negro because he can throw the ball and run with that ball. Quote, I showed my parents his picture, and the conversation was over before it even began. Congratulations, Miss Dowdle's father and mother. Dowdle wrote, my dad did not give me an option. He told me that I was not allowed to see Michael ever again. Why? Strictly because of his skin color? That's the dodge they always use. And if you think it's only the skin color, you got another thing to come. Skin color is only Mother Nature's tip-off that you may want to keep an eye on this person. But the differences between whites and blacks goes far deeper than that. It wasn't a quiet no either. I've never forget the yelling my parents did when they expressed how disappointed they were in me, that I could do so much better, she wrote. And should, they should have kicked her out of the house, let the niggers support her. Dowdle continued to see Swift in secret. In other words, she's a liar, she wrote. But about a month ago, she told her parents that they were still dating. According to Dowdle, her parents then took away her phone, car, and money, and then refused to pay for college. Sure, of course, that is their ability to do, and they should do it. Dowdle added that she was was still living at home, though. Kick her out. She wants a Negro boyfriend. Kick her out. Let him support her. After all, he's a big volleyball player. Message and phone calls left for the Dottles family were not returned. Reached at his Collierville home earlier this week, the elder Swift also declined to comment. Bill Dottle operates a local sporting goods business, Dottle Sports. Now they'll try to ruin his business. That's the way these great emancipators work. However, Bill Dottle spoke to the New York Daily News earlier, saying that his daughter dating a black man may not be his preference because of issues involving with biracial dating in the South, the paper said. Here we go, typical white man. It was never about race, the paper quoted Dottle as saying, adding that his daughter's comments are a justification and gave her the moral high ground. Dowdle said he disapproved of Swift and another of his daughter's boyfriends because she started dating them secretly. Dowdle added that he decided to cut off her college money because she had been spoiled and it became obvious that she needed to go out in the world and grow up and get a job. While many of those who contributed money have congratulated Allie Dowdle on her stand against racism, she should be able to screw whoever she wants. Others have questioned whether that's really what she is doing. I think she's raising money under false colors. I think she's pretty smart, really, in some ways. You aren't entitled to a free education because you're dating a black guy, a woman named Ashley Ray posted on Twitter. Another Twitter user, Marissa Kaiser, said, sending a rich white girl to college is not fighting racism. Just go to a cheaper school. Wow. Charles McKinney, an associate professor at Rhodes College and director of that school's Africaner Studies program.
Our inventory is at an all-time high at Honda San Marcos. With all the new and redesigned models Honda has, this is...
Sometimes this computer gets smart, thinks it's an African-American or something. Anyhow, that's what happened to that girl. She got $34,000 sent to her for being a race mixer. So why don't you pretend to be a race mixer, too, and come up with your story? Yeah, crowdfunding. I love it. Well, Associate Professor Camille Nakade cautions companies from jumping straight on the defense when being called out for being racist. Huh. Wow. The Kiwi Gardening Company is defending one of its product logos amid concerns that the imagery is racist. Yates, which was founded in Auckland in 1883, sells its seed-raising mix under the name of Black Magic, along with a character of a small black genie. Wait a minute. All right, get out of here. Get off my show, you bastard.
This image. These images have been around for a long time. They were constructed by a particular group because that is how they perceived a particular group of people. And they were allowed to do that at that time. And no one has challenged it, no one has questioned it, and so continues. We can no longer continue to do the same things we did 50 and 60 years ago. We don't have that right or that privilege anymore because people will call you to account for it. And to want to continue to behave in the ways you behaved 50, 60, 100 years ago and then feign disappointment or being offended when someone calls you out as a racist is a privilege in itself. Because you are now taking that luxury of being seen as a victim, and that in itself is power. That in itself is privilege. By saying, "I am the victim. How dare you call me a racist?" Well, if somebody says what you've done is racist, then think about it. Reflect on it. Maybe that image is derogatory to some people.
Of course, that was another one of these professional Negroes speaking. You can't do that anymore. You can't show a black genie, you stupid white people. Don't you know where you're at now? We're running the fucking show. I guess that story was from New Zealand, but they had a giant article on the internet about how horrible it is that this seed company put a picture of a black genie on their sacks of material they're selling. And they want to destroy the guy's business over that kind of stuff. Why don't people just tell these people straight out like I would tell them? Go fucking go to hell. I'll say what I want and I'll name my product what I want and just get off my ass. The trouble is people try to talk their way out of it, excuse it, and things like that, instead of being boldly facing it off. White people are cowards. They're cowards and chickens. Well, I see Toronto, Canada has long been plagued with anti-black racism. Great. And it needs to be wiped out, it says here. The Toronto Sun, that's a left-wing rag, but the right-wingers are almost as bad. This was a message Mayor John Tory delivered at the West End the other day. We'll tell the mayor of Toronto to suck off. Detroit Police Chief James Craig just doesn't get it. He doesn't get that racism exists in his department. He doesn't get the irony of the whole situation. Systemic racism flourished on the watch of a black executive in a mostly black department, in a majority black city, and I'll bet you he's probably married to a white woman. The reality of all white task forces exists on his watch. The reality is complaints from officers about harassment and discrimination flourish on his watch right there in Detroit. Well, I'll be damned. Here's another funny one. I got rid of tipping at my restaurant to fight racism, sexism, and unlivable wages. Well, if you don't allow tipping, what are your poor, probably non-white women that work there for low wages, how are they going to make it? You're talking out of both sides of your mouth, you idiot. You know, I got a call or an email from this guy, Daryl Davis. Says here, despite not getting a straight answer as to why people hate based on skin color alone, and that is, of course, bullshit, because they don't hate because of skin color alone. They can hate because of crime rates. They can hate because of low IQ, hate because of unequal competition on the workforce, and all kinds of stuff. It's not just skin color, and they know it. They're all a bunch of goddamn liars. Negro American Daryl Davis now believes 30 years worth of conversations with KKK members has indirectly led hundreds to leaving the white supremacist organization. Well, if he was able to get them to leave, they weren't much good to the white race or the Klan. That's the trouble. The Klan has gone to hell in the last few decades. It all started with a racist experience he had at 10 years old in his home in the city of Chicago. The effects that event stayed with him into adulthood. I could not understand how someone could attack another person who they didn't even know, somebody on the basis of skin color, said Davis. What he really means, someone who did not want to socialize with Negroes, which should be the perfectly good right to do. Whenever they say that, what they mean is you won't miscegenate. You won't race mix. So you obviously hate me. Well, no, I don't have to hate you. I just like my race, we want to be separate. Davis began setting up interviews. Quote, I would have my secretary, he's got a secretary, so he's got some money, call Klan leaders starting in the area where I lived, then spreading up north and down south and Midwest and West Coast, said Davis. I'd have her not tell them that I'm black unless they asked. Nobody asked, so I would just show up. At times, Davis was met with shock and hostility. However, some were willing to talk, and he was able to interview many extensively. Quote, I would go in armed with knowledge. I had read all these books. I knew as much about the Klan, if not more, than they did themselves. I don't doubt that. And so whether they like you or not, they have respect for the fact that you've done your homework and you know a lot about them and their organization. Well, anyhow, this is a long article. Yeah, he emailed me last week, and I emailed him back and said, forget it. He wanted to have an interview with me. I said, in fact, he was going to come up here to where I'm at. And I said, that's not going to happen, sir. I didn't even call him sir. I'm not going to talk to these assholes because that's a form of capitulation. He said he's writing a book, and you know how that'll turn out. He wanted me in one of his chapters. Well, I said, look, it's very simple. Go to resist.com. You can find out everything about Tom Metzger that's ever been said. You don't have to interview me, but he has to be able to do that to give him so-called credibility. Well, he can go fish. Some of the white supremacists became former KKK members through knowing him, Davis. Many he would now consider close friends. Although he never set out to convert, his conversations have led about 30 to 40 people leaving the organization. How many years has he been working at it? Davis added that indirectly, over 200 people have left through an impactful relationship he built in his new home state of Maryland. Quote, when the leader of the Klan became a good friend of mine and disbanded the organization, the Klan fell apart. Well, they were never together to begin with if they fell apart that easy. Today, there is no more Ku Klux Klan in the state of Maryland. But I'll guarantee you, Mr. Davis, there's a lot of lone wolves out there. They don't need the Klan. As for presidency of Donald Trump, Davis said the exposure of racial tensions in this country has been a good thing. Goodbye, Daryl. Not only must you talk to the Hollywood Klan, you got to talk to the Hollywood Nazis. You'll learn something. Not. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. If that's not enough crappy news, I'll come back tomorrow on Thursday and give you some more. By God. Always remember, race is more than skin deep. Giving it the out of you're just don't like me because of my skin color is stupid. And they know that. It's a biological problem. It's a mental problem. Yeah.